Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Guten Tag, lieben Glocken, Globen.
Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast. That's not German, but it's like, who did that? That was Mutt Lang. But we are going to talk about the Rock of Ages. the song where that came from. The story behind that was in Mutt Lang. He was the producer. What was he? Yeah, for a lot of albums, and for Def Leppard and their song Rock of Ages, instead of counting 1, 2, 3, 4 to lead them into beginning, he goes, Guten Tag, lieben Glocken, Globen. And they decided to keep that in the song. And it doesn't really mean anything. Except I've changed it a little bit. My daughter, she's celiac. She got celiac disease, so she can't eat gluten. And so whenever that word comes up, gluten, I say gluten, gluten, glotten, globen. And so that's kind of our inside joke there, fun thing that we have together. But so that's my intro to this week's Growing in Grace podcast.
Well, let me give you an intro into what we're talking about, picking up on where we were from last week. Growingingrace.org, by the way, if you want to catch, now you can get them on your podcast platforms too. You can search for programs there. But if you want a complete history or you want to try and get to last week's program nice and quick, and you want to go to a website and not necessarily an app, then shoot for growingingrace.org and you'll find the newest programs first there. Joel, I had this memory of... I mean, these are some of my earliest memories. So I don't know how old I was, 4 years old. I don't know. But I remember my mom would go downtown. She liked to shop. This woman loved to shop. And my poor little legs would just get so tired of standing around and walking around. And it was a nightmare. And in this particular department store many years ago, I think it had like 7 or 10 floors. It was a department store, multi-floor place back in those days. And they had elevators. And when we went into the elevator, we didn't push the buttons to go to the next floor. No. No, they had somebody sitting there on a stool, and she would push the buttons for us. At the department store, we just say, we want floor 5. And so my question to you, Joel, I think we called them elevator operators, as if we were too stupid to push a button on an elevator. And so my question to you, of course, those are no longer around. Kind of like it's almost kind of hard to find somebody to fill your tank with gas. You know, there was a time back in the day where... You'd just pull up to the pump and somebody would come out and put the gas in for you and wash your windshield, check your oil, all that stuff. But this elevator operator, my question to you is, was she really working? I mean, was that a real job? I'm sure she got paid for it, you know. But I mean, was she really working? And so with that said, going back on what we were talking about last week with works keeping faith alive, and getting specific about what works are going to be required to keep faith alive, I don't think elevator operator would qualify.
Well, my question to you, though, is what's it like being 100 years old?
It wasn't that bad.
No, and... I mean, I was not alive for the elevator pusher person, elevator button pusher person in there. But I actually did pump gas for a living.
You did? Okay.
A good 35 years ago. we were the only gas station in town that was left doing that at the time. But and our gas prices were 10 cents more than everywhere else. But yeah, I'd go out there and I'd pump gas, I'd check the oil, clean the windshields, all that type of stuff. Did that for 5 years.
So in the world of the cosmos here, the world system, to me, pumping gas and cleaning windshields and checking oil, that would qualify for keeping faith alive. Elevator operator? No.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I'm being a little facetious here to try to make a point.
Right.
In what works,
what
spiritual
degree,
or otherwise,
what degree
is one
of
to
works.
Do to maintain their faith and salvation?
Right. Pushing a button or doing a little bit more, because I did more than just push a button. So now I can say, well, I did a whole lot more, so I'm saved because of my works or evidence. So I see what you're saying there. And it's
So what are we putting our faith into? And I know you want to get into a post that you put on social media and a response from somebody who made a great point. And I think, Joel, sometimes we, and it's easy to do, and maybe it's a fine line, I don't know, but it's easy to put our faith in what we think is our correct interpretation of Bible writings. Our faith gets wrapped up in our doctrine and what we think is truth based on writings. And this thing that we call Christianity is supposed to go above and beyond that stuff. And I know how easy it is to get caught up with that, but our understanding, our interpretations, they can change and they can be wrong. And so it still comes back to putting our faith and trust in a person with a capital P. His name is Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah. And so I'll lead up to, you know, what I'm saying. I don't think there's anything, you know, we obviously, one thing we've done on this podcast for 20 years is we've shared the things that we've come to understand and, you know, obviously hoping that it encourages other people and learning and reading the Bible and gaining understanding. That's really, it can all be a good thing. But is our faith in the conclusions that we've come to, in the doctrines that we've come to? I see a lot of fighting among believers about their doctrinal beliefs. And I myself have taken part in a lot of those things, and it's become less and less as time has gone by, because I do want to give grace to other people who believe differently than I do, because for one thing, like you were saying, there are things that I used to believe that I see differently these days. There are other things that I used to believe that I'm even more firmly standing in and believe those things even more. But my faith is not in my doctrinal understanding of things. That's a sandy foundation to be standing on. Whether it has to do with, you know, what we're talking about, you know, what we've been talking about, works and faith. I've seen, you know, there have been arguments about speaking in tongues. There have been arguments about James. There have been arguments about all kinds of things. And people get so locked in to their interpretations. This Bible verse or this Bible passage says this, that Bible passage says that. You put them all together, and here's my doctrine. This is what, and if you say something different, well, you're wrong, or, well, you're half right, but, I see people say things like that, and it's like, let's just understand that we all have our understandings where we're at, but ultimately what it's about is the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in Him. And so along the lines of what we're talking about here, the post that I had made a while back, by the time this airs, I wrote, if my works are evidence of my salvation, that is my eternal right standing with God and eternal life, then I need to know exactly which works I need to be doing and to what extent I need to be doing them. After all, my eternity depends upon my works. And so again, that's if my works are meant to be evidence of salvation. So is it a few good works here and there to show that I'm saved? Is it consistent good works every day? And how is consistent defined? Is it a lifetime of being as close to perfection as I can? So if there must be works in order to prove that I'm saved, then what's the line? How much will be good enough? And then the kicker, and will the finished work of Jesus not have been enough? So if I need works to prove that I'm saved or justified or righteous, then really, what was the finished work of Jesus all about? Was it not enough? Because it's somehow dependent upon me. And then one of my friends that I go back with probably a good 15, 20 years, back to when I used to blog a lot at graceroots.org, Gary, we were blogging friends and then had been Facebook friends for a long time, but and I met him in Atlanta a couple of times, I think. Anyway, spent some time going out to eat and stuff like that with some other friends. He posted this as a comment. I like this. He says, I have faith in Jesus and him alone. I place no faith in my understanding of what the Bible says apart from what he has revealed to me through my faith. My works, however you may define it, amount to nothing. The only thing that matters in this life is faith expressing itself through love. I think somebody named Paul said that, but that's really good. I used to spend a lot of time in exegesis with a Strong's Concordance by my side, only to get more and more confused. It took me a while to get myself out of that cycle of relying on my understanding and resting in God revealing what I need to know when I need to know it. There is peace there. So I really like what he says there. And again, I love concordances. I love looking up the meanings of words. It helps me in my understanding of some of the things that Paul wrote and the things that are in the Bible. Exegesis is there, we're not against that, but it really comes to nothing when compared with knowing Jesus, resting in him alone. And faith expressing itself through love. Because as you were saying a little while ago, Cap, we can be wrong. Our conclusions that we come to, even with all of that, even with all of our Bible study and studying the verses and studying the passages and studying the meanings of words, as good as that can be, and even if we're right on that stuff, whether we're right or wrong, and I'm not saying, again, that it's bad to have a good knowledge of and understanding of things, but Christ himself, that's where our hope is. It's in that person, like you say, with a capital P, Jesus Christ himself. That's where our hope is. That's where our faith is. It's in him, and he's the one that finished the work. He's the one, whether we have any Bible knowledge or understanding or not, he's the one that we're always pointing to, and that he indwells us. The Bible doesn't indwell us. Our doctrine doesn't indwell us. Christ himself does.
Yeah, I don't know what more I can add to that, but I will anyway.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'm sure you got some good stuff to say.
Because we're doing a podcast, so you can't just say goodbye.
Well, everybody, that's it. See you next week.
How much time do we have left, by the way?
Oh, a good 20 years. I don't know.
I didn't mean that.
three to 13 minutes.
I don't want to know the big picture in that way. Look, as we've said before, we share perspectives on here. Some of them may be God-breathed. Some of them may be by revelation of the Spirit. Some of them may be our own thoughts. And sometimes it's a mixture. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, that's really what we all go through. God working in and through us isn't always just these divine things that God does through people. It's done through our own filter, the human filter, the human personality, of which we're all very unique. And so perspectives are provided from people who discuss these things about the Bible with the understanding that they have in that particular moment. As you said, Joel, whether it's right or wrong, That's not really the big point here. But those perspectives can change. The Spirit can help lead people into a greater knowledge of truth and understanding. And I personally believe that with the apostles and people who wrote, like in the New Testament, for example, they also had perspectives and an understanding of some things that they knew at that time. And we've discussed this before on our podcast, where that doesn't mean that they knew everything. It doesn't mean that everything that they said and wrote in those pages that we call the Bible today, it doesn't mean that everything is the be-all and the end-all. They were still learning. They were still growing. Much of what they talked about and wrote to the people that they were writing to at that time involved things that were going on in their day. I mean, this was crazy stuff going on. These were the early years after the cross and resurrection of Jesus. I mean, this was something that's really hard for us to relate to from a spiritual perspective, I think. Historically, we can look some things up, even outside the Bible, and find out some pretty valuable information. But these were people, Gentiles, most of the world, who had no covenant with God, like what the Jews had under the law. And here now, they were being told that they could believe on Jesus and be brought into a covenant with the one true living God. Whereas the Jewish people, who had spent centuries under a law of works, were suddenly being told by somebody like Paul that they were no longer under that. They had been redeemed from it. They had been released from it, freed from it. And that's the good news. And so if we're going to go back to saying, well, the faith that saves is dependent upon what we do, we're not only going backwards into a place of just general religion, like what many of us have been brought up on, but we're going back to the same place where the Jews were, who were trying to attain righteousness through what they did and maintain it. You know, it's like the Philippians jailer, or the Philippian jailer. When he was about to kill himself, and Paul said, don't do that. He says, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your household. And he didn't then stop and say, okay, what do I have to do to stay saved? Right. Well, let's see here, Mr. Jailer, you have to do this and that and the other thing. You can't push buttons and you need to fill the gas tank. And, you know, he didn't do any of that. Because what Jesus did, as you've mentioned, Joel, Jesus came, he died, he rose. If it's still about us trying to keep faith alive, what? Jesus didn't have to come. We could have been doing this under the law. God could have just shown up and said, okay, I'm expanding this covenant to include the rest of the world. The old covenant, not the new.
Right.
And if he had done that, then we could all just, you know, try to work our best. Because how many people go to church, believers in Christ, go to church each and every week, and then say, I hope I'm doing enough. A lot of people who don't believe in Jesus, when you try to approach them and try to share Jesus with them, well, I'm not really a bad person. And they're basically hoping that their good will outweigh their bad. And they're just saying, well, I hope I'm doing enough. It happens with believers. It happens with unbelievers. That's not where we should be. And I love what you talked about here, though, with putting our faith in our own Bible knowledge. That's not what this is about. It goes beyond and above that. This isn't just religion. This is connecting with the living God by His Spirit, who is sent to indwell us. And this is what's so great about Christianity. I probably went too long, didn't I?
Would you just stop already? No, that was good. That was, I mean, for not having anything to add to what I said, you added a lot of good stuff there, though. That was a lot of good stuff, and it's all important. And I just hope that people will, soak that in and they'll add that to their knowledge and understanding, because we're right about everything. No, I'm just obviously just kidding. I'm going to end it right there.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.